Friday the 9th of January, Yud Gimel Teves, Rabbi Yossi Cohen, Yaakov Rabinu's Brochus.
I wanted to analyze as much as we can in the next half an hour some of the Brochus of Yaakov Avinu. This is a very complicated sugya, should we say, in the Torah. Because first of all, Rashi makes the comment that Kol Birchosov Shel Moshe Me'ein Birchosov Shel Yaakov. So if you really want to understand everything here, one has to analyze the brachas of Yaakov together with the brachas of Moshe Rabbeinu, and the connection is not always so clear. And the other issue is also that we don't always see clearly that there's a bracha here. Most of the what we call brachas here seem to be more like definitions of the tribe, describing their essence, describing their koichas, and that seems to be the ultimate bracha. But a person should know what their koichas are, what their potential is, and what their job and mission in life is. So I just wanted to sort of jump around a bit and mention a few ideas regarding some of the brachas, so that we should have a bit of an idea what's going on here. The first bracha that Yaakov Yudu gave in this week's parsha was to his grandchildren Ephraim and Manasseh, and that itself is interesting, that we eternally, Klal Yisrael always blesses their children. Some have a minig on Friday night, or some other times, we always bless our children, Yisimcha, Alekim, Kefraim, Chemanasha. Which begs the question, you know, not everyone comes from Ephraim and Manasseh, why Klal Yisrael forever, all our children, our sons, are always blessed that you should be like Ephraim and Manasseh. There's a number of ideas why specifically we bless our children eternally, that they should be like Ephraim and Manasseh. Some say because those children grew up in Chutz Laaretz, in an environment which was a far cry from Yaakov Avinu's home, and yet they still grew and became great people. So in all the trials and tribulations of Golos, we always bless our children. We have a precedent. Yaakov Avinu's children succeeded, and we bless you that you should also succeed despite all the hardships of Golos. There are those that learn that the reason why we bless our children that they should be like Ephraim and Manasseh is because usually the Derech HaOlam is that there's a Yiridus HaDeiris. The generation beneath you is usually on a lower Madrega than the generation prior to that. In the case of Ephraim and Manasseh, that wasn't the case. Ephraim and Manasseh actually jumped up a generation. They themselves became Shvatim. Their uncles were all Shvatim, their father was a Shevet, and yet they themselves leaped up a generation. So we eternally bless our children, Yisimcha, Alekim, Kefraim, and Chemanasha. There shouldn't be a noticeable Yiridus HaDeiris. I also once saw an interesting idea, and the only reason why I'm not saying Dvarim B'Shem Oymar is I simply don't remember, but I saw once an idea that the reason why we bless our children, Yisimcha, Alekim, Kefraim, and Chemanasha, is that Ephraim, it seems, was the greater brother, right? Yaakov Avinu put Ephraim before Manasseh. But although his older brother Manasseh received less of a bracha, or should I say was less, he received the left hand of Yaakov, not the right hand of Yaakov. We don't find any jealousy whatsoever from Manasseh to Ephraim. We find this incredible middle of what we say in Yiddish, forgiving him, right? Even though he was his younger brother, even though he was the one who got the bigger bracha, Manasseh was not at all apparently jealous of Ephraim. So we eternally bless our children, Yisimcha Lekim, Kefraim and Chemanasha. You should have the godless of Ephraim and the Midas Tovus of Manasseh. Interesting, talking about the Midas Tovus, it's an interesting thing which the Talmud of the Trumas Hadeshim points out. When Yaakov Avinu blessed the children, Yosef positioned them. He came towards Yaakov, positioning Manasseh facing the right hand of Yaakov Avinu, because he wanted and assumed that Yosef will put his right hand directly in front of him on Manasseh's head. And then Yosef positioned Ephraim, the younger brother, facing the left hand of Yaakov Avinu. And the pasuk says, "Vayishlach Yisrael lefi yaminoi," and Yisrael, which is Yaakov Avinu, extended his right hand. "Vayoshes al roish Ephraim v'hu hatsoir v'esmoilei al roish Manasseh sikel es yodov ki Manasseh habachur." When the two children came towards him, Manasseh facing his right hand, Ephraim facing Yaakov's left hand, Yaakov Avinu sikel es yodov, he switched his hands. Key, because Manasseh HaBachor, because Manasseh was the Bachor. Which the Trumas Hadeshim asks, it doesn't seem to make sense. The reason why he switched his hand is not because Manasseh was the Bachor. The reason why he switched his hand is because Ephraim was not the Bachor, and he wanted his right hand on Ephraim. How can the pasuk say Sikelis Yodov? He switched his hands, ki because Menashe HaBachor. Again, the reason why he switched his hands is because he deliberately wanted his right hand on the younger child, not on the older one. It says the Trumas Hadeshin, Yaakov Avinu was very, very concerned that there might be some embarrassment here to Menashe. He had a choice of two things. When the two children came towards him, he could have simply said, no, one second, this is not how I want it. I want you, Menashe, to stand over here, and you, Ephraim, to stand over here, so that you, Ephraim, should be directly in front of my right hand, and you, Menashe, in front of my left hand. But obviously doing that would have been embarrassing Menashe. So the pasuk, when the two grandchildren had their heads down before their grandfather to get the bracha, Sikel es Yodov, he switched his hands, ki because Menashe HaBachor. Because Menashe was the Bachor, and that would cause an embarrassment had he done it the more logical way, he therefore switched his hands above their heads without them realizing. Had Yosef not interrupted it, he never would have realized perhaps, and that way he avoided the busha that Menashe would have had. So that sensitivity was something which again we find Menashe himself had in the way he begins his brother in such a manner. Let's have a look at the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gives to Reuven. Yaakov Avinu says to Reuven, his Bechor. What I'm saying here comes mainly from the Shem Shmuel. Yaakov Avinu turns to Reuven, his Bechor, and he says, first he gathers all the children together, he comes to gather together, and listen all. It seems that all the Shvatim had to be there to be aware that there are differences, but we're all one. And I want you all to hear the milas and the potential of each and every one of the children, and it seems there's something to learn if there was a rebuke as well about each and every one of the children. Reuven b'chayri ato, you are my b'chayr, koichi v'reishis oini, yeser se'es v'yeser oz. You are my power, my original power, and as Rashi says, he was raised to have se'es and oz. He originally was supposed to be the one to have the melucha and the kahuna and all sorts of wonderful things that the Bechayra was all supposed to be Reuven. However, continues the Pasuk, Pachav Kamayim, you were hasty like water. Al Toysak Yalisa Mishkele Avicha, as Rashi explains, you, my Bechayra Reuven, were hasty like water. You, we'll explain in a minute what that means, hasty like water. You, Reuven, as Rashi explains what the Pasuk is saying, you switched your father's beds. You switched my beds after Rachel Imenu died. Reuven got involved, emotionally involved, and he switched his father's beds and tried to put the bed in the oihel of Leah. He was tzeveah, it seems, the covert of his mother, and he emotionally got involved here and did what he did. And as a result of that, he lost the Bechorah, and the Malchus went to Yehuda, the Kohanim went to the Levim, and the Pishtaim, the double portion, Ephraim and Menashe, went to Yosef. You were Pachav Kamayim. So the interesting thing here is as follows. What exactly is that definition, you were pachav kamayim, you were hasty like water? So the Shem Shmuel explains as follows. The Maral, when he talks about water, he defines water as a choymer bli tzura, which means it's a substance which has no form. Right? For example, a table is made from wood, that's the substance. And the form is now that it's been formed into a table, right? The shtender is made from whatever it's made, and then the material is the material, but now the form, the tzura, is when you put it all together and you make it into that particular form. Water is something which is a chomet, some sort of substance, but it has no tzura. You put it in a cup, it takes on this shape. You spill it on the floor, it takes on this shape. The shower, when it comes out of the shower head, takes on another shape. It's something which is a chomet, but it has no tzura. It's not clearly defined. I saw that Tom Sokham Yerushalayim, Rabbi Glazerson, who has all sorts of interesting ideas based on Lashon HaKodesh, how he proves that Lashon HaKodesh is the source of all languages. Water is something which is not clearly defined, and if you notice, in many languages you'll find that question mark in what exactly is the definition of water. In Hebrew we say ma is what, mayim is water. You can hear the ma in the mayim. German, was, what, Wasser is water, right? Qua, aqua. You find what's water, right, what's water, mine. In all various languages you find, so to speak, there's a certain question mark, what exactly is this? It's a choymer, it's some sort of substance, but the tzura, it hasn't got a tzura. It can easily be swish and swayed from side to side, and it lacks tzura. Yeruvim are the bechor. The bechor is expected to be the trailblazer of the family. Usually the other children follow suit, they copy, whatever, they emulate the derech that the oldest child usually has set. And besides the dinim of a bechor, there's also what we call the middah of a bechor. A bechor should be the one that isn't so easily swished and swayed by outside influences, or for that matter, inside influences. The fact that you, Reuven, got so emotionally involved and allowed yourself to be controlled and governed by your emotions was pachas kamayim. You were hasty like water. There was a lack of tzura here. There was a lack of tzura allowing yourself to be influenced too much. As the cop would ever put it, if I am I because you are you, and you are you because I am I, then I am not I and you are not you. Only if I am I because I am I and you are you because you are you, then I am I and you are you. The concept of an ish tzura is someone who I am I because I am I. I am not I because you are you, or because of emotions, because of social pressures, or anything else like that. Reuven, you the Bechor, shouldn't have allowed your emotions to get the better of you and to start switching the beds because you are so understandably to a degree, but as a Bechor, that was Pachas Kamayim. And therefore, you Reuven have to now lose that Bechor. The Bechor is now going to go to people that are the paradigm of the antithesis of that. In other words, Yehuda, as we know, he was the one who could publicly get up and say, Tzod Kamimeni, no public opinion or no emotion could sway Yehuda from having to make that tremendous decision of publicly admitting to what he did. The Levim, the ones who also went against the rest of Klal Yisrael by the story of the Egel, and obviously Yosef is, if there ever is an example of an Ish Tzura, and ever an example of someone who no one could sway him, as Rashi says in next week's Pasha, who Yosef, he was the same Yosef that was the shepherd, he was the same Yosef that was the viceroy of Egypt, nothing and no one could sway Yosef. Which is also the Yomik, the Sforim say, of when Klal Yisrael crossed the Yom Suf. The Pasuk says, Hayom ra'av ayonis, the sea saw and fled. What did the sea see? The sea saw the Atzmus Yosef. And that's something we can immediately now understand. The sea, which is Mayim, cannot stand in the way of a Yosef. Yosef is the Ish Tzur. Yosef is the paradigm of an Ish Tzur. Right? Mayim and Yosef are the antithesis one to the other. The moment the sea sees Atzmus Yosef, the Atzmus Shal Yosef, the whole essence of Yosef, the water, which is Choymer B'li Tzura, splits. It runs away, it flees from a person, an Ish Tzur like Yosef. So that was the taino on his tremendous madrega. We're talking about Reuven. On Reuven's madrega, and again, let's make no mistake, this is something which Reuven was working on all along. If you look at the Mechiras Yosef, you see clearly he was the one who stopped and said, Al Tishbukhuda, 1 second. And the Sforno elaborates there how he was actually working on this middah of not being too hasty, not being too impetuous in any decision making, etc. But on his Heilige Madrega, it seems that it wasn't sufficient, and Reuven lost the Bechor because he was pachas kamayim. He was hasty like water. Being hasty like water, being I am I because you are you, even if that you is within me, an emotion or an external pressure or a social pressure, whatever it may be, is on his tremendous madrega a lack of the middah of a Bechor, and therefore as a result the Bechor went to Yosef, who was the Bechor of Rachel, who was a classic example of an Ish Tzura that nothing and no one could sway. The Shem Shmuel goes on to ask that how come we always have a klal that if a person does tshuva, you do tshuva for a chet, you go back to the stage you were before the chet. And we know that he did tshuva. He did a tshuva. So if he did a tshuva, how come he was unfortunately, it was seems, even though he did the shuvah, and we'll see clearly the Pesukim say he did the shuvah, how come Reuven never got the Bechor back? So he says a very, very interesting idea. He says, if you look in the brachas of the Zeis HaBracha, you will notice that the bracha of Reuven is in juxtaposition to the bracha of Yehuda, which is not the natural order. The Pesuk says, Yechi Reuven va'al Yomais, this is Moshe Rabbeinu, this is not our father's blessing, this is our Rebbe's blessing. Yechi Reuven va'al Yomais, V'hi misav mispar. V'zois li Yehuda. Immediately after Reuven's bracha, we jump to Yehuda's bracha, which obviously is something which Rashi addresses. Rashi says, Yechi Reuven ba'olam hazeh. Va'al yomois la'olam haba. Shelo yizachar lo ma'aseh Bilha. The events of Bilha, what happened when he switched the beds, is no longer going to be mentioned. Reuven has olam haba, he's done shuva, everything's perfect. Well, if everything's perfect, then why didn't he get it back? Shuva. Shuva, we always know, is something which takes us back to stage one. But Rashi points out on the juxtaposition, Rashi said, V'zois li Yehuda, says Rashi, why is the bracha of Yehuda next to the bracha of Reuven? Says Rashi, quotes a Chazal, Mi goram li Reuven sheyoide Yehuda. Who was the one that was goyrim and caused Reuven to do tshuva? Yehuda. Says the Shem Shmuel, I think it's the name of his father, Avnezer, he says, of course he did tshuva. Of course he gets olam haba. Aber nochamol, a migoram dika tshuva is oichas achisoron in bechir. Right? Again it's migoram. It's wonderful, but again it was an outside influence. It didn't come from you yourself. The tshuva was something which was influenced by Yehuda. So, of course he'll get olam haba. Of course he did what he had to do. But even the tshuva on the Madrega of Reuven was a chisaron in the middle of a bechir. But his story with where he did shuva for Tamar, so he emulated that. But it's something to earn olam haba for, but he will not get the bechir back, because it's also coming from an outside influence. As the saying goes, you were born original, don't die a copy. The Shane Shmuel points out, and this is what's relevant to all of us, that we are all called Bechor. Klal Yisrael are all called a Bechor. As the Pasuk says, towards the end of the discussion in next week's Pasuk between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, V'amarta el paroi koi oma Hashem, b'ni Bechor Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls us all a Bechor. And Rashi there says a very puzzling thing, which again the Shem Shmuel analyzes. Says Rashi, why are we all of a sudden called a Bechor? Says Rashi, B'ni Bechor Yisrael. I definitely said it one time. Oh, here we are. Well, Midrash, says Rashi, Kan chosam HaKadosh Baruch Hu al mechiras ha-Bechor shelokach Yaakov ve'Esav. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now has signed and stamped the sale of the mechira between Yaakov and Esav. Kan chosam HaKadosh Baruch Hu al mechiras ha-Bechor shelokach Yaakov ve'Esav. Which is a bit of a pele, you know, the story of the Mechir of Yaakov and Esau was hundreds of years before this story, right? All of a sudden now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is signing and agreeing, yes, the Mechira is Chal, it was definitely a good Mechira, and now I officially state and agree that Yaakov and his descendants are the Bechir, B'ni Bechir Yisrael. All of a sudden here, by the snare, all of a sudden now in Golos Mitzrayim, just before, you know, the terrible Golos of Mitzrayim, Hashem now is sealing and agreeing that yes, we are the Bechor. What's happened all of a sudden now that we have earned that title? As he points out, if you look just before the encounter between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the last thing that happened, this is in Shemois Perek Gimel Pasuk Kof Hei, the Pasuk there says, Vayar Elekim es Bnei Yisrael, Vayeda Elekim. The Pasuk talks about how beforehand, how Klal Yisrael screamed to Hashem, they were suffering so much, Vayizaku, and Hashem heard their cries, and then it says, Vayar Elekim es Bnei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw Bnei Yisrael, Vayeda Elekim, and Hashem knew. What did he know? It just says that he saw Bnei Yisrael, Vayeda Elekim, and Hashem knew. And then immediately after that it talks how Moshe the shepherd went and saw the burning bush, and then the whole encounter and discussion, which ends off with the title Bnei Bechor Yisrael. But the last thing that happened before Hashem spoke to Moshe by the snare was that Vayar Elekim es Bnei Yisrael, Hashem saw Bnei Yisrael, Vayeda Elekim, and Hashem knew. What did he know? Says the Medrash, what did he know? A very interesting Medrash, which will light up in what the Shem Shmuel has taught us. Okay. So the Shem Shmuel, the Medrash says here, the very last thing that happened to Klal Yisrael here is Vayeda Elekim. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew something. So the Medrash, Shekol Echod Asa Tshuva. Every Jew did Tshuva. continues the Medrash, Va'afilu echod bechaveiroi lo yoda shechaveiroi osa tshuva. Every Jew did tshuva, but no one knew that his friend is also doing tshuva. Kan chosam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu noticed that Klal Yisrael are all individually doing tshuva by themselves. You don't know that I'm doing it, I don't know that you're doing it, I am I because I am I, and you are you because you are you. The moment Hashem saw that, He sealed now and proved that Klal Yisrael has intrinsically, in their spiritual genes, they have this concept of B'ni B'chayr Yisrael. You are all a B'chayr. You all have the middah of a B'chayr now, that you're doing things individually because you have this personal relationship with Hashem. So of course, as a tzibur, we want to grow, we want to rub off on each other and to emulate, but ultimately a person must never lose their individual avodah with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Rambam points out, the Aseres HaDibros are all written B'loshen Yachid. They are all written B'loshen Yachid, as the Rambam says, She'im kol echod ve'echod yedaber. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to every individual Jew. Because Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tisicha, all the Aseres HaDibros is in the Loshen Yachid, in the singular. Because im kol echod ve'echod yedaber, Hashem spoke to every Jew as an individual. And as a tzibur, we are a tzibur, but every person has to have his own personal relationship, that I'm doing things not because that's a dumb thing, or that's where I'll get my shidduch, or that's where I'll get an institution, or a job, or a good name, or whatever the case may be. A person has to work on it. It's not an easy thing, but a person has to constantly work on being I am I, not because the rest of the world is the rest of the world, or because of inner emotions, or other things other than the focus on what Hashem wants from us. So I want to just skip for the next 8 minutes and 15 seconds to the bracha of Binyamin, and perhaps mention something which I think is very relevant to the matzav that unfortunately Klal Yisrael finds them in at the moment, which will hopefully go away soon. The pasuk tells us Binyamin is the Av Yitroth. Binyamin is compared to a wolf that devours, the wolf that tears apart its prey. And here the Targum translates it and says Binyamin ba'ara tishrei shchinta uvachsanta yis b'nei makdasho. The Targum says that Binyamin is the one which will be the host for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shchina. That's where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built, and there'll be karbonos in the morning and karbonos in the evening, etc. And this apparently connects to Binyamin's Av Yitroth. Binyamin is the wolf that devours, referring to the Chazal that tells us, and that's what the Targum is teaching us here, that the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was in the Chelik of Binyamin is because he was like a wolf that is constantly desperately wanting to devour and have the Shechina. He desperately had a desperation to have the Shechina always in his Chelik. He desperately wanted the Shechina in his Chelik. And we know that the Beis HaMikdash for 830 years was in the Chelik of Binyamin. But as I saw once in the Sefer Magid Yosef, when Hashem was looking for a host for his Beis HaMikdash, He wasn't just looking for a host to house the Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, Hashem knew that Binyamin is going to have to be the host for much longer than that of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash has been B'Chorbanah for much longer than it's been B'Binyanah. And apparently, the host for the Binyan also has to be the same host, obviously, for the Chorban, but it has to be someone who has the qualities to be able to hold the Chorban correctly within its midst. And the Sefer Magid Yosef points out that when Hashem searched for the correct host, He found Binyamin as the correct host for that as well. Because Binyamin was the person, as we know Chazal tell us, he had 10 children. And every one of his 10 sons, at his bris, he called the son after a different sorrow that Yosef was going through. Which means in his time of Simcha, he still noticed the tzar of someone else, which is a hard thing to do, but he did it. And therefore said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only do I want my Beis HaMikdash in his Chelik, but he's also the appropriate host for the Chorban. He will never get carried away and forget the Tsar of somebody else. Which leads me to just something which I feel we should think about. I'm talking to myself, I'm not talking to anyone who wants to listen can listen, but this is something which I think is very appropriate to talk about. There is this idea I saw in the name of a pre-World War II preacher, pre-World War II Maggid. There is a Gemara in Menachos that describes a very tragic scenario of Rahman al-Islam, somebody who was born with two heads. Is that what we call Siamese twins? That's debatable. But someone was born with two heads. And the Gemara discusses if someone born with two heads, on which head do you put tefillin? On both heads? On one head? If one head, which head? The Gemara discusses if it's a firstborn boy, do you have to pay double for pidgin aben? All sorts of halachic discussions. On the side there, the Shittim Kubetzis brings a medrash that in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, there was a man who came to, well, there were men who came to Shlomo HaMelech, and this person with two heads came to him and said, our father, right, he considered himself two people, our father has just died, and apparently he left a fortune of money, and there was a question now of who is supposed to inherit, or how much everyone's supposed to inherit. Well, seeing that it's our father, we are two people, and therefore we're entitled to a double portion in the Yerusha. It seems that the siblings disagreed and said that he's only entitled to one chelik of the Yerusha. So the wisest of all men said, okay, you claim you're two, apparently the siblings claim that he's one. So Shlomo said, let's test it. And Shlomo HaMelech says the Shittah, he brings the Medrash, he took a bucket, he placed it over the head, over one of the heads, and then he took hot water and poured it over the other head. And both heads screamed. Both heads screamed. So Shlomo HaMelech picked up the bucket and said, you'll excuse me, but you are only one person. Because you never saw it, you never felt it, this head, right? And yet, you both scream together. So apparently, intrinsically, you are really one and not two. You're only entitled to one chelik of the Yerusha. So this pre-World War II Magid used this as a launching pad for the following message. Klal Yisrael has many, many different heads. This man had two heads, and Klal Yisrael has many different heads. But let's put it this way. Klal Yisrael has many, many different hats. There are those that wear on their heads spodiks. There are those that wear strimals. There are those that wear black hats that are bent down. There are those that wear black hats that are bent up. There are those that wear grey hats bent down. I haven't yet met grey hats bent up. Perhaps there are those as well. There are those that wear turbans from Sephardi countries. There are those that wear kippah srugot. There are those that wear velvet yarmulkes. There are those that wear black yarmulkes. There are those that wear no yarmulkes. There are those that wear shapels. There are those that wear tichels. There are those that wear both. There are those that wear neither. What is going to be the litmus test that Klal Yisrael intrinsically is one? Litmus test is going to be when boiling hot water is poured on some of those heads, what do the other heads do? Do we turn the other way and just continue our lives, Shalom alay nafshi ki b'shrius li b'yelech? Or when the other heads have boiling hot water, or let's bring it down practically, boiling hot missiles landing on their heads, we're not talking about one or two heads, we're talking about close to a million heads, with, by the way, every single one of the above mentioned hats or no hats, or tichels or no tichels. We have over a million Jews that have missiles being, Rahman al-Islam, thrown upon them and living in a situation of terror. And we, and I include myself also, living in a part of Eretz Yisrael, which Baruch Hashem, there are no sirens going off, we are all the other heads. And our test is, this is what we have to stand to, is what are we doing in a time like this? Do we turn the other way? Or do we intrinsically prove that we are all one nation, and therefore we scream, right? Perhaps not just rely on a few token prokhim of Tehillim at the end of davening, but realize that we have a responsibility now to scream together with the heads that have the boiling hot water poured on them, and that way prove and show that we are intrinsically one nation. The Rishonim points out that the word am is people, ayin mem, and that's the same letter as the word im, which means with. The definition of an am is in when we are all together, and that is the calling of the time. And if we will have the sensitivity to be out of the rocket range and be out of the physical danger that so many tens of thousands of Israeli soldiers, Rahman al-Islam, are in, let alone the pilots which are flying over the lion's den and all these dangerous things that are going on, if we will be mishtatif, seriously mishtatif, inconveniencing ourselves in our daily schedules to add extra to Tehillim and scream hard, and hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that intrinsically we will have a great part in the final Yeshua. I have 2 minutes. Miriam Hanavia. Miriam is called Miriam because she was her parents, Amram and Yecheved, who were from the tribe of Levi, they were fine. They weren't under missile range in Mitzrayim. Amram and Yecheved were from Levim. The Levim could stroll freely in Mitzrayim. There was no shibud, no avodas perech. Amram and Yecheved made it their business to get involved by calling their daughter Miriam, Miriam do this, Miriam do that, and she's called Miriam, say Chazal, al shem hamor, because of Vayimoros Chayim, Klal Yisrael was going through Mor, a bitter experience. They called their daughter Miriam to feel the pain of the rest of Klal Yisrael. That's why they called her Miriam. Al Shem HaMor. They were the ones who got involved, even though they were uninvolved. And it's interesting, the Ben Ishchai points out, and we'll finish with this, that the name Miriam, actually, although it's called Al Shem HaMor, if you look deeper in that name actually is the source of the salvation. That's where the salvation itself is hinted to. Because as we know, that Miriam, which had that sensitivity, which she got from her parents, to always be concerned about the pain of others, and even though you're not involved, Miriam was the one who stood by Moshe Rabbeinu. Miriam was the one when the river, when Moshe Rabbeinu was floating down the river to what could have been his death, she stood, she stood by him through thick and thin and saved his life. That same Miriam was the one that sung and danced, and 80 years later, when Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old, she danced and rejoiced because she was the one that saved that child, that when he was 80 years old, he brought an end to Golus Mitzrayim, he brought an end to the 210 years of Golus. As the Ben Ishchai points out, the name Miriam, Mem at the beginning, Mem at the end, Mem is 40, the Gematria, the two Mems equal 80. When Miriam saw, when she was the one that caused this, that when her brother was 80 years old, the middle letters are Reish and Yud, which was Gematria 210, he brought an end to the 210 years of Golus Mitzrayim. So in the name Miriam itself, you have the Mora, which is the Tzora, but you look a bit deeper, in the Tzora itself lies the salvation. And the one, it seems, the lesson that we can learn from this is that the one who is Mishtatus in the Tzara, even though you're uninvolved, you will have a direct effect on the Yitzhak Shem, what will be the Yeshua of the Herod Yomim.
Amen.